Robert Kraft will talk to the media and to Patriots fans at 1, and you can listen live here on WEEI on any of the radio stations that we have assembled for you all over New England, or on the Odyssey app, or you can stream that Robert Kraft press conference at 1 at WEEI.com. Tomorrow on this show, Ty Law at 9 on a Ty Tuesday. Wednesday, Mego on the Celtics and other things at 9. And joining us right now, the great Rob Ninkovich, former New England Patriot. Hello, Robert.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
Were you surprised yesterday, 1 hour after that game, when Jerod Mayo was informed that it was one and done?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think that that was going to happen. You know, the rumblings of throughout the season, there were moments, and you know, I know the fan base, they were pretty upset, and it just didn't feel like it would be a one and done type deal. But then I guess at the end it came down to it, and that was the case. That's what they did. They decided to do it. It's kind of sad. You know, it's definitely sad. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, 10 years ago, we were 4 days away from playing in a divisional playoff game and beating the Baltimore Ravens to going on to win a Super Bowl. And now we're at this point where we're firing coaches after one season, not even a full season, you know, a full season, but not even a full year, calendar year.
Rob, were you surprised with how quickly it happened, that it was less than an hour after the game that it got announced?
Yeah, it you would think that there could have been more, you know, today seems like usually a time where people make that decision. I know that Jacksonville just fired their coach, so just coming out not even an hour or 2 hours after the game just seems kind of odd.
If you were making the decision, who would be the next head coach of this football team?
I mean, I think Vrabel being available is probably the most glaring, you know, option for them at the moment, considering he has a history and had been here for so long and such a, you know, legend here in New England. So we'll see moving forward if that's the case. You know, I think that the one thing that I'd said throughout the whole season is when you have a new coach come in, usually the way it goes is the coach comes in and they have they bring in everybody. Yep. And it was kind of odd the way that this Mayo hiring, he really didn't have that opportunity to bring in all his own people. There's a lot of holdovers from Bill, and when he was here, Mayo himself, you know, scouting, the whole thing.
Elliot
Pro personnel.
Wolf.
So
Elliot Wolf is Elliot a Bill Wolf. Guy.
So it's now the question is, will the new head coach have the ability? And I think that's the biggest question. Can they bring in all their own people? Because if you look at every other head coach that was hired somewhere else, they brought their whole package with them. And, you know, is that going to be the case now? I would assume that whoever is going to be the new head coach, that would be something that they would have to demand.
Ninko, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. However, if Mayo had a 4-13 season and everything on the field was the same, but he didn't say this is a soft team, we are a soft team, we're burning some cash, we're not burning some cash. If he didn't have the missteps with the media, I think he still has a job today. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, it's difficult. It's a difficult time to be in the spotlight now that everyone has the ability to magnify anything that you say. You know, if this was 10, 15 years ago, and you say that, you got to actually pick up a newspaper to read it. You know, now it's just in your face instantly. You say something, and it's in your face, and then there's a million different streams that grab it, and they put it in quotations, and that's your. I mean, I deal with that myself. I say one thing, and it's, you know, Ninkovich claims assault. It's like, what? Like, is You know, Ninkovich wants to assault a player. It's like, well, okay, but it's that's just the world we live in now. But now I think that there are instances where you have to learn and you have to grow. And now every first year head coach is going to have to learn on the job. It's like just part of it. You know, I think back to when you're a rookie, when I was a rookie in the NFL, and you make a mistake and you try to learn from it. And, you know, I think that that's part of the process. And we live in such a now community. Like, everybody is so into the now. Like, hey, we have to do this now. You know, that's just our society. Our society is based on results, and it has to be fast, and it has to be instant.
But would you blame, you're blaming the times and social media and the...
I'm not blaming that. I just think it's a part of it. You have to deal with it now. And some of those things are thrown into people's faces, so then they automatically jump on the okay, we need to move on, you know. So,
in your time here, which was unbelievable, did you ever hear a player go on the radio and suggest that fans need to know their place because they're daring to boo at a football game? And is that not a giant culture problem that has never existed here before?
Yeah, I think you're dealing with a younger generation of player that they're not, you know, I don't think Tavai knew when he was saying it that there would be such a massive backlash on it, which now, I mean, listen, everything that you say, you have to understand that people are going to take it and digest it. And I think obviously if he had the opportunity to not say those things, he wouldn't have.
Well,
but
he had the opportunity to take him back after the game, and he doubled down on it, which says to me, it's not that one thing. The one thing that Jelani Tavai said on this show is, to me, indicative of an overall giant culture issue on that football team, of which Gerard Mayo is in charge of and was going to change.
And he was theoretically supposed to be much better at it because he had a connection to the players and he was connected to the social media generation in the way that his predecessor wasn't.
I would assume that it's very frustrating as a player to put out the effort, and if you do have a relationship with a coach that you do respect and you do enjoy working for, even though the results weren't there, it would be tough to go into the stadium. And, you know, I think as a friend, it's tough for me to look at signs and, you know, the things that are out there about Gerard Mayo, because the guy's a great dude. You know, he's a smart football player. I don't know him as a coach because I was never a player for him as a coach, obviously. But, you know, I think it's tough when you do have a relationship with somebody and you don't like to, it's just like anything. If it was a family member and somebody's saying something about that person, it's hard to just listen to it without having a rebuttal to that. Right. So I think it's hard for certain guys, if they are close to a coach, to just let the negativity and the stadium chanting and all that stuff, it's probably hard to just take that, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think there are some aspects of what Tavai was saying, and he took it personally, right? Because you do have relationships. You're with the coaches more than you are with your own family, in a sense. So, you know, you do form close relationships, and you do take things personally. You know, yesterday I'm watching Calais Campbell talk to the D coordinator from Miami. The guy's crying. You know, the D coordinator's crying. So you have very close relationships with these coaches, and that's why it's really difficult in these times right now, because you have coaches that just moved here with their families that are 1 year, where am I going now? What's my future look like? Like, those are tough situations to be in, and now I think you're going to have a lot more uncertainty across every single department: scouting, upper office, personnel, coaching, assistants. Everybody now is potentially going to be replaced, which is really, really hard for people. I don't think the fan base can put their mind in, like, those assistant roles, you know, like where those guys are going to be and their families are going to be. It affects everybody, and it's pretty tough for those families to be in that situation right now.
Rob, just back to the culture thing, because I agree with you. I think it's a younger player mentality. But even last year with Bill Belichick, we heard a little bit about dysfunction behind the scenes, but it was really at the end of the season, after the season, where maybe players were speaking to reporters like Karen Garigian. But this year, it seemed like every week there was a headline coming out of that locker room. So what was it about Belichick that was he able to, year after year, keep things under wraps?
Well, I think it was, you come into a situation like myself, when I walked into the locker room, I was a young kid that was always envious of playing for a team like the Patriots. So when you walk in the building, you just anything. And that's one aspect of, I think, fans, when they look at a player, for myself, even for myself, after I was done playing, I think a lot of fans and my friends in general were like, dude, you have a lot more personality. You never really said anything. And that was just kind of the you understood that, right? Like, I'm coming in just to do my job. I don't want to make a story. I don't want to put myself in a bad spot. I just want to produce at a high level, and I want to help this team win. And that was the culture. So I think that's one thing Vrabel would have and understand. Like, this is the way it was. This is how we're going to do things. And if you don't want to do it this way, we'll find people that do want to do it that way. And is it harder to do that in 2025 than it was in 2004? I think yes, because there is a difference in the player and the college level. And, you know, you come into the NFL now, you're more of the celebrity just with your own name, as opposed to when you came in the 2000s, the team was the celebrity and you were just trying to help the team win.
Have you spoken to Mike Vrabel at all?
I talked to him in his Hall of Fame induction. Yeah, I mean, I congratulated him. I think, you know, for myself, I was the guy that came in after a legend. And you've said it, I've said it before, it's always hard to fill the shoes of a guy that's the Hall of Fame player. And when I walked into the building, I was, the white 50, right? Like, you're not Vrabel. And I was told many times I'll never be Vrabel, right? And now I never tried to be Vrabel. I always knew Vrabel was a great football player. I just want to try to represent that position with production. And you do your best. And, yeah, I've made my fair share of mistakes, and I miss tackles, and I miss sacks and all that stuff. But I always try to just produce at a high level, consistency, reliability, dependability. Like, that's what that position and that number was about. So, you know, it's crazy to think that there were two guys that wore the same number for 16 years and won a lot of football games, right? Like, that's not really the case anymore. It's really hard to do that. And, you know, anytime I would meet Vrabel, I just almost was like, you know, a little bit intimidated by him, because I was always trying to fill that void or fill that position out. And, you know, so you never really know. So I never knew him personally at all. So I would always just imagine him as this like larger than life figure because of the great things that he did here. So I think that was a difficult thing for me, but at the same time, I knew after the 8 years that I had played here, like, I did the best I could. That's all you can do, right?
Should have won with 51.
Yeah. Were you intimidated, Ninko, when you first met Greg?
No, I just wanted to clean his glasses.
Rob,
I felt
as
the
always,
fingerprints were at a high level on Greg's glasses. We got to get him some Dawn dish soap on them things.
It is always our pleasure to have you on, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts this morning, Rob Ninkovich.
Thank you, guys. All the best in the new year.
Yes, sir,
and take care. We'll see what happens moving forward, and have a great one.
All right. Well, the only direction
is up. I had no choice on the number they gave me. I was 45, which is a terrible number, and then they put 50 on my locker. I was like, all right.
Yeah, 45 is bad.
All right. That's Rob Ninkovich. We got to take a break.
Yeah, I got something. I got something.
Greg, I love 45.
That I was thinking about, and it's not the young players.
Oh.
It's not the young players. That's not the issue? No, it's not the young players.
Are you going to tell us when we come back what it is?
Sounds like a Wiggy's room topic.
Okay. All right. We will get to that coming up next.